It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me for this edition of Senior Talk. Today we are discussing elder abuse and investment fraud. My guests are Jay Martin, Executive Director for Legal Services for the Elderly, one of my favorite organizations, and Judy Shaw, Securities Administrator for the Maine Office of Securities. There are 33,000 cases of elder abuse in Maine annually, 87% perpetrated by a family member. And for investment fraud, about 30% of investment fraud cases are people 60 and older. Thank you both so much for being here. What are we going to do about this? These statistics are staggering and very upsetting. We think of our state as being safe and everyone cares and looks out for each other. And these numbers are really, really difficult to hear. Jay, I'm going to start with you. What constitutes elder abuse?
Sure, I'm happy to respond. And I also want to note that this is a national problem. This is not unique to Maine. And to note, too, that it's really a worldwide problem. So we're not facing it alone, but that just goes to the magnitude. There's a variety of forms of elder abuse. It includes physical abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, and financial exploitation. In our office, the most common form that we see is financial exploitation.
And what does that consist of?
Well, it involves basically someone stealing from an elder, and that might be an asset like their home, which is the most commonly stolen asset in the cases that we handle. Or it may be cash from a bank account, maybe stripping the equity out of a home. It might be taking credit cards out in the names of the senior and running those cards up. Diverting public benefits to away from the person, whether it's Social Security or a veteran's benefit. So it's really taking cash and assets that the person needed to take care of themselves through the rest of their life.
Oftentimes, does the senior agree not to being exploited, but agree to some of these scenarios? For instance, yes, I'll help you with this loan, or I will make you my POA.
I think all of us know in our families that we help each other out. And I probably, any one of us might have a memory of going to a parent or a grandparent for assistance. And that's not what we're talking about here. This is completely different than that. It even often involves the senior being kind of coerced or influenced into giving away their assets when they're facing medical problems or are dependent on somebody else for their care. They're being basically kind of railroaded into the arrangement. So it's very, very different than the kinds of things we think of in Maine and elsewhere that people do for each other as family members. It just isn't that.
And you're not saying don't sign your home away or don't do this, but talk to someone first if you're being pressured, correct?
Yeah. You need to go to a trusted professional. It's good to seek information from family and friends and advice from family and friends. But if you're going to sign a legal document, you need to speak to a professional about that. And that's part of what Legal Services for the Elderly is there to help with. We like nothing more than for someone to call us before they have appointed somebody their agent or signed a loan document or maybe, again, agreed to take some equity out of their home to help a kid. We want to get those calls before people are doing those things.
And Legal Services provides free, confidential legal advice. So if someone's thinking, I can't afford a lawyer, I don't know who to call, Legal Services would be the answer.
Absolutely. Although I emphasize call before, call anytime. We can also sometimes help undo arrangements and things. We can help people recover their homes or their assets. So there's no wrong time to call. The point is pick up the phone and tell us what you're thinking about doing. Tell us what somebody's trying to convince you to do. And trust your gut. If you think you're being taken advantage of, you're probably being taken advantage of, even if it's somebody from your own family.
Even if it's someone who professes to love you. And the part that it's all very troubling, but the eviction piece where they promise the senior can live in the house as long as they're alive. They can live there forever. It's just helpful to sign it over for taxes or whatever reason, and then they get evicted.
Absolutely. And we get calls to our statewide helpline from somebody who has been served eviction papers to essentially telling them to get out of what they thought was still their own home, or they're being displaced from the home due to a foreclosure that has to do with a loan that they didn't even know was taken out. And I can't urge enough for everybody to understand that that is not a rare scenario in our state. And if you happen to face it, you should call for help right away. And it's why it's so important that people get advice before they sign documents, because that could be the risk that's out there, is that you could end up losing your home.
If someone's listening and they're in this situation, but they're thinking, well, it's my son and I don't think he'd do anything, even though I don't feel right, I don't want to tell anybody about him. I don't want to feel like I don't have faith in him. What do you say to someone who's hesitant to call? They don't want him to get in trouble.
Well, the advantage of calling legal services for the elderly is that the person that calls us, the senior, is our client. Our conversations with them are confidential. We would inform them about their options and then take their direction. And if they ultimately decided they did not want to take any kind of action, that's their choice and that would be the end of it. But the advantage they would have having called us is they would understand what their options are and what their rights are. And we can sometimes help people understand that good people do bad things, and that what the person needs to do is look out for themselves and their own future, and hold on to those assets they've worked their whole life to build up.
Do you think that if the family member, if the senior said, I just want to check this out, and the family member, do you find that they're okay with that if they are on the up and up and say, please do check with a lawyer? Or if they give pushback, is that a red flag?
I think it is. We have many people who call our helpline that want their parent to get our assistance. And we explain that we need to get a call from the senior before we can engage. And often the response is, of course, I would want you to talk to my mother or father. We might explain we need to speak with them alone. People say, of course, that's what I want. And so that is the reaction you hope for. And I do think there can be red flags when somebody wants to stand in the way of that.
That's a very good point. So if someone's listening, and you're not going to call the police on this person right away, so that, because I know sometimes seniors, we've talked about this, they don't want to call the police if they're being abused or taken advantage of, because they don't want their kids to get in trouble. And then if that's their sole caregiver, then what are they going to do?
And again, if they call legal services for the elderly, we wouldn't take any action that wasn't at their direction. So we might offer alternatives, tell them about resources, but we wouldn't start making calls unless the person had agreed to it. Again, our conversations would be entirely confidential.
So even though you're not charging them the client lawyer confidentiality, you've all heard it on TV, that is an actual true thing that happens with your organization, just as if you went to an attorney in an office downtown.
No different.
Excellent. So if someone is, knows someone, they go to church with them, and they're getting suspicious about how this person may be looking lately, what are the signs for a bystander of someone that maybe there's something not right?
The red flags can vary depending upon the type of abuse or maltreatment that's taking place. If it's physical, then you're looking for physical signs that the person is being mistreated. If they're being neglected, again, you might look for physical signs of that. So somebody being unkept, looking not cared for. In the financial arena, It really is things like somebody showing up as agent that's never been on the scene before and starting to take control of the finances, somebody trying to keep others away from the person. It might even be something like unpaid bills, where somebody's always paid their bills on time, a sign that their income stream has been diverted to someone else. And Judy, I invite you in on the red flags as well, because I, I know you looked at that a lot.
Well, you know, there's some great examples that we have seen over the years as a result of referrals to our office through banks and credit unions from the Senior Safe Training Program. And thinking about unpaid bills reminded me of one call we got where a gentleman, a regular customer, came in and said he was unable to pay his electric bill. And it was astronomical. It was many thousands of dollars. Just seemed unreasonable. So they called me and I said, you know what, I'm going to call the local police chief and ask him to just go over and do a well person check. And he sent an officer, and lo and behold, this gentleman's adult son had moved in and established a marijuana grow facility in the basement, unbeknownst to the father, which was just causing this huge electric bill. So I guess the point there is we all have to keep our eyes wide open and be willing to create what we often talk about as being a new community safety net, and make sure that people know about these things so that we can ask an officer to go out and do a well person check, or we can brainstorm issues together.
You mentioned the Senior Safe Training Program. Tell me what that is.
Sure. In 2014, the Maine Council for Elder Abuse Prevention, in conjunction with Maine's banks and credit unions, with legal services for the elderly, adult protective services, and agencies in my department, developed this training program for financial institutions, which has been quite successful.
And that's training for bank employees to try to spot the red flags. When we come back, we will talk more about elder abuse and investment fraud with Jay Martin and Judy Shaw. So stay with us. There is lots more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk discussing elder abuse and investor fraud. So numbers to call, get a pencil. I will give these again later in the show. But if you want to speak with legal services for the elderly, there's a helpline manned by either attorneys, paralegals, a professional will talk to you. 1-800-750-5353. 1-800-750-5353, legal services for the elderly. And the Maine Office of Securities, 1-877-624-8551. Toll free, 877-624-8551. And I will give these again. So if you haven't got a pen, get one. So let's talk about, we were discussing the Senior Safe Training Program, and during the break, you told me a really heart-wrenching story, so I'd like you to share that on the air about how important this program really is to train bank employees. Judy.
Sure. So a couple of years ago, I did a Senior Safe training for all of the branches of a Maine-based bank, and about 2 or 3 months later, I received an email from a vice president of the bank who said that one of the tellers who had gone through the training was at work one day and saw a regular customer come in with his girlfriend, and that he was acting very unusually for himself. He just seemed out of sorts and didn't appear to be dressed the way he normally dressed, or just seemed a little wrinkly and upset, and they were arguing, and ultimately they left in a huff without speaking to anyone. She found that very strange. Remembering the training, she spoke with her supervisor, who went ahead and made a report to a state government agency. About a month after that report was made, the customer came into the bank to talk to the teller to say how grateful he was that she made that report. That unbeknownst to him, he was experiencing seizures from an infection that had not been diagnosed. And his girlfriend couldn't tolerate his erratic behavior and had brought him to the bank to get him to clean all the money out of his accounts so that she could leave him. But what the state government agency did was get him to an emergency room, and the ER doctor told him if they hadn't gotten him there that day, he likely would have died.
That is a chilling story. So when she made the report, when she went to her supervisor who made a report, how did the wheels go in motion that he got from that moment to the emergency room?
So we don't know, because all of this is confidential, we don't know exactly what government agency or law enforcement they reached out to, but whatever agency it was, they immediately sent someone to his home to check on him and check on his welfare. And as a result of that, they determined that the most appropriate action at that point was to get him to the ER, which really, as I said, was life-saving for him, and he was very grateful for them having made that report.
You are co-chair of the Maine Council for Elder Abuse Prevention. Tell me about what this organization does.
Sure. I am privileged to sit as co-chair along with State Police Lieutenant Patrick Hood. This organization is a group of about 80 to 90 individuals and organizations who are all committed to trying to end elder abuse in the state of Maine. And they come together, and we all, legal services for the elderly, domestic violence, sexual assault organizations, adult protective services, area agencies on aging, my office, law enforcement at all levels, all come together along with private individuals to raise awareness about elder abuse and how to prevent elder abuse, and to try to put projects together like the Senior Safe Training Program, a similar program that is done at the Criminal Justice Academy for new recruits, our annual Elder Abuse Summit that brings in experts from across the country, which gets about 260 people in attendance, and a fall networking event for elder abuse task forces and triads. We really are just trying to blanket the state of Maine and all of our aging family, friends, and neighbors with care, compassion, support, raise awareness, really bring all of our energy to bear and resources to try to prevent elder abuse in Maine. We all need to be able to age gracefully and independently in this state the way we used to when we grew up in those communities like I did in a small town in northern Maine where we had generations of family together. That's just not the case anymore. And everyone who's a member of the Council for Elder Abuse Prevention, we simply decide what resources, whether it's person time, in-kind contributions, whatever we can do to try to bring resources to bear. So we've all taken turns, for example, producing those No Excuse for Elder Abuse bumper magnets that you see not only throughout Maine, I've sent them to Nebraska, to North Dakota, Florida, whatever we can do to raise awareness.
I have one on my car. Those are great awareness builders, and I see them in the community, and it's like a flag of people who are so committed to this cause of seniors. And Maine being the oldest state in the nation, Jay, do you find this is an even more important endeavor to take on? Because as people are aging, there's hundreds of people turning 65.
It absolutely is more important, and it's more important because we want, as Judy said, our seniors in our state to be able to age in a safe way, and also because, to be honest, the economy of Maine is being very adversely affected by what's going on. There are millions being taken every year, and it's harming the state.
When we come back, we are going to discuss investor fraud, what to look for, what to ask if someone approaches you to invest. So stay with us. There is a lot more to come. Again, the numbers are 1-800-750-5353 for legal services and 624-8551 for the Office of Securities. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Now we're going to discuss investment fraud. And as I said earlier, about 30% of people who are scammed through investment fraud are people 60 and older. Judy, it's like you just can't trust anybody. What constitutes investment fraud?
If these are situations where someone may be approached. They could be approached by lots of different, you know, a straight-out scam artist, or oftentimes, surprisingly, they might be approached by people in their church community. We've had investment fraud scams that have targeted the deaf community in Maine. We've had a couple that of investment frauds that specifically were targeting Christians. So what happens is the scam artist, the fraudster, whatever term you want to use, is saying, look, I'm a Christian just like you, or I attend the same church you attend, and therefore you can trust me. And what they want to do is to say, I've got this great idea. I'm going to build this wonderful widget, and we're going to make tons of money. And so but I need some money just to get it off the ground. And so they'll use that trust relationship, or they'll plead to your emotions to try to get you to give them money, and they'll promise you some unreasonable, wild return. And they'll tell you, this is just for you, though. Don't tell anybody about it, because I want to make sure that you get this investment. You need to get in on the ground floor. It's not going to be available tomorrow. So all of these high-pressure sales tactics get used. Then they pull you in, and they tell you they're going to use the money to build that widget. And then, lo and behold, they use it to go off to some casino someplace and spend it on themselves.
And we're talking serious amounts of money. We're not talking maybe $500. This could be pretty significant money. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. It's not at all unusual for us to see some of our victims turn over their entire retirement savings. Now, for some people, that could be $150,000. It could be $2 million. It can run the gamut. And of course, once the money's gone, it is very, very difficult for us to be able to get it back. I will order people to pay it back, but it may come in $25 a month increments. So many of our victims often, unfortunately, pass away before they get that money back. It's very unfortunate. So we want to educate them to try to avoid turning the money over in the first place. Really important that they ask lots of questions, and that they call our office to check on that investment and the person who's trying to sell it to them, because that person needs to be licensed with my office.
So that's a great point. So you can't just try to build a widget and have people kind of buy in and make that investment.
That's right. That investment is a product that needs to be registered with our office or exempt from registration, and they have to prove that it's exempt from registration, and that individual needs to be licensed. And even if they are licensed, you should still call my office, because we can tell you the background. We had a case once with an insurance professional who actually cashed his elderly customer's annuity out in order to invest that money into an investment fraud in Wisconsin. If that insurance agent had called my office, he would have known that the person promoting that investment had just gotten out of federal prison for securities fraud.
And seniors, we're almost out of time, but seniors are more vulnerable because they have more money, or they're trying to make up for lost time if they didn't invest early.
A little bit of all of the above, and also, you know, that aging brain, just that natural aging process allows us to get out of our brains and into our emotions, which will make us take more risk than we normally would take.
And you have, if you log on to investment.maine.gov, there is a smart investors checklist. This is a 2-page paper that you can download, and it asks all kinds of questions that will really help you decide and know if this is a good thing or not.
Correct? Absolutely. Investors.maine.gov.
And if someone doesn't have a computer, can they call you and you print it off and mail it to them?
You got it. Would absolutely. 100%.
Okay. Phone number 1-877-624-8551 or 1-800-750-5353. Jay Martin, Judy Shaw, thank you so much for being here. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.